WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. An almost four-hour meeting between Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un is over. The two men met in Siberia to discuss their separate interests, the Russian president's thought to be weapons for the war in Ukraine, and North Korea's dictator, economic aid. Kim spoke through an interpreter.
Russia is now in the sacred fight against hegemonic forces in order to protect its sovereignty and security interests. We have constantly expressed our full and unconditional support for all the decisions taken by the president.
Officials in Libya have just updated the death toll from massive flooding in the eastern city of Derna to more than 5,100. The UN estimates at least 30,000 people have been displaced. Brian Lander with the World Food Program.
People have lost homes. They've lost all their belongings. So shelter will be an urgent need. Food, of course.
New England is bracing for a new wave of flooding as Hurricane Lee makes its way north across the Atlantic. Vanessa Corson is with Maine's Emergency Management Agency.
Prepare for the what if of evacuation, as well as sheltering in place.
Landfall still uncertain. High waves and dangerous rip currents are already slamming the East Coast. 13 days on the run now, and police in Pennsylvania say they think they have escaped murderer Danilo Cavalcante cornered. Again, they believe he's in an area 45 miles from Philadelphia after confronting a homeowner and stealing his rifle. CBS Philadelphia's Joe Holden.
Investigators described a complicated manhunt frustrated by difficult terrain. 500 law enforcement officers are mobilized.
It's a large area, wooded, hilly terrain. It's not something that it's a matter of just sending a few people in and searching.
Governor Josh Shapiro declined to provide a cost estimate on the expansive search, but said he believed Cavalcante would be caught.
Five former Memphis police officers have been charged with federal civil rights violations in the beating death of Tyree Nichols during a traffic stop in January. His stepfather, Rodney Wells.
This is a long time coming, and we're so glad that we've reached this point. Now, the next milestone is the actual convictions.
The officers are still fighting second-degree murder charges in the Tennessee courts. As her show returned amid the Hollywood writer's strike,
a special birthday correspondent is entering the studio right now.
Drew Barrymore was dropped from a prestigious gig hosting the National Book Awards. The foundation says the decision was meant to ensure the focus of the awards remains on celebrating writers and books. Other TV talk shows returned last week. S&P futures down 5. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
QS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Wednesday, September 13th. It's National Peanut Day. It's National Bald is Beautiful Day. It's National Hug Your Boss Day, though I think the folks at HR might have something to say about that. It's National Roald Dahl Day, National Positive Thinking Day. It's Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day. It's Defy Superstition Day, which means I get to play a Stevie Wonder song. It's International Chocolate Day. And last but not least on today's very lengthy list, it is National Programmers Day. So that leads to this pop quiz for Sam and for Aaron down in the Madison Control Center here. It's National Programmers Day, it says here, because it's always on the 256th day of the year. And that's because every programmer knows that 256 is an 8-bit byte equal to 2 to the 8th power. Mm-hmm. This digit makes it the highest power of 2 that is less than 365. And so when translated to binary code, the day reads what? Here's your nerd check. Either one of you.
256. Well, I don't know. It's weird with computers because you start counting at 0. But
that's right. So in just ones and zeros, what would 256 be?
It would be 8 ones, I think.
No, you're close.
Doing my math right.
You're close, but I'm very impressed. 8 0, a 1 followed by 8 zeros.
Yes. That makes more sense.
I'm blown away that you got that far. That's fantastic.
I've dabbled in a little bit of programming before.
That sounds like dabbling in the occult. It sounds just about as dark and mysterious. Good on you, Sam.
Sometimes it feels that way. Yeah, I've also dabbled in programming, but it seems less so than Sam because I was trying to think about that and do the math and not get it.
Well, both of you, congratulations. I knew I called on you for just the right reason. So very well done on your pop quiz for the day. Coming up this hour, we're scheduled to talk to Tara Johnson. She's the latest Democrat to throw her hat in the ring for the 3rd Congressional District seat in Western and Central Wisconsin. Also, legislative Republicans move closer to passing warmed-over versions of their previously rejected plans for child care and tax cuts that are skewed toward the very wealthy. Republicans also surprised everybody yesterday by suddenly announcing that they were embracing a new method of drawing the legislative and congressional maps that would turn it over to nonpartisan legislative staffers. Kind of a case of too little, too late. Now that the state Supreme Court has flipped
and that there is an actual legal challenge before the current gerrymandered maps. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about how that's probably their substitute for trying to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, the newly elected Supreme Court justice, because the Journal Sentinel interviewed 64 Republicans in the state assembly, and not one of them said that they were a definite yes on impeachment. Not one of them. So how serious was the talk about impeachment, which is probably why we're seeing them doing some backtracking on this. We'll also talk to Todd Alba, who has spent more than his fair share of time in the state capitol. So we'll cover all of those subjects, I'm sure. And along the way, if you'd like to join us, the studio line is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also text that number, or you can use the Civic Media app to call us or text us. And we'd love to hear your input on any of these things. For example, on impeachment, not of Janet Protasiewicz, but of President Joe Biden. You know, all of these cases of Republicans trying to nullify elections that they didn't like the results of, and so let's overrule the will of the voters. But on impeaching President Biden, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said repeatedly yesterday that, you know, there are these allegations, and these allegations are serious, and we need to look into these allegations. You've been looking into the allegations, and frankly, sounds more like making up allegations to try to create something or maybe hope something good drops in your lap, but they're allegations, just like the allegations of voter fraud after the 2020 presidential election. There's nothing there. You're trying so hard. You're trying to the point of claiming that you have a whistleblower who's going to spill all the dirt on the Bidens. It's a whistleblower who turned out to be an illegal arms dealer, an oil dealer, a money launderer, and a fugitive from American justice. That's the guy they're hanging their case on, someone who surely isn't making stuff up to try to catch a break when he finally faces justice himself for, you know, arms trafficking and being an unregistered agent of the communist Chinese government. You know, the same communist Chinese government that House Republicans keep saying we need to spend all of our time investigating. So I ask Mike Gallagher, who is all about talking about communist China, where are you on this whistleblower who supposedly has all this dirt on President Biden? You still got a lot of stock in this guy? Derek Van Orden, you're going to face a very tough race from Tara Johnson or Rebecca Cook or maybe some other Democratic candidate. You really want to see a federal government shutdown and the impact that it has? You really want to see an impeachment based on allegations? Is that what you think is the best use of time in Congress right now? We'll take a break here. We'll get your full weatherology forecast. We will also see how the Brewers did against Miami last night and more unpacking of the headlines when we come back right after this. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin this morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human effect climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
DeVette.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You knew this was coming. Here's Stevie Wonder. On this National Defy Superstition Day. So think of what it is that you don't normally do out of superstition and do it anyway. Walk under that ladder for the first time. It's time to check the forecast from Weatherology, and then we'll have more of the headlines on this really nice Wednesday. Again, got a cool start to it, but it's going to be awfully nice as we get further into the day. We had a little bit of a good soaking rain in some parts of the state. We had one here for a few minutes, so just the kind of thing we needed. So let's get the full forecast for the state of Wisconsin. Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology joins us now with more. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, like you said, it's a pretty decent day for the most part. Today, it looks like mostly sunny skies for most today. A little bit more cloud cover with a chance for showers and storms for the morning hours from Oshkosh down to Waukesha and Milwaukee. Below average temperatures as a cold front fully pushes through the state today. Mid to upper 60s expected for all. Then a warm front comes in by Thursday. Sunny skies across the board tomorrow with highs warming into the mid to low 70s from Wausau down to Madison over to Richland Center. Upper 70s expected for west central Wisconsin and cooler closer towards the Lake Michigan lakefront with highs in the upper 60s. Then by Friday, sunny skies for the southern half of the state, Oshkosh and southward, and then around Amory and Baldwin. Cloud cover for central Wisconsin with a chance for some showers and storms around Wausau on Friday. Temperatures linger in the mid to upper 70s for southern Wisconsin, then drop into the mid to low 70s for central and west central Wisconsin. For the weekend, sunny skies expected for both Saturday and Sunday around Amory and Baldwin with highs in the upper 60s. A little bit all over the place for everyone else, though. A slight chance for showers and storms from Milwaukee over to Madison both Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. Richland Center to Wisconsin Rapids and over towards Oshkosh. Chance for rain on Saturday, sunny by Sunday, highs in the upper 60s to mid 70s. And then a chance for rain both days this weekend around Wausau with highs in the upper 60s.
Perfect time to get stocked up on the pumpkin spice. Jennifer, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
Taking a look at how the Brewers did against Miami, pretty darn good would be the short way to put it, where the Brewers' bats once again came to the assistance of Freddie Peralta, who turned in a stellar outing, and the Brewers beat the Marlins 3-1. Josh Donaldson homered for the Brewers for the first time since he was acquired. Milwaukee's now a season-high 18 games above 500. Christian Yelich missed a fourth consecutive game due to lower back soreness, but could be back in the lineup in a day or two, according to Craig Counsell. Mark Canha left after in the third inning because of a sore left wrist, but again, does not sound serious. Brewers play Miami again tonight and tomorrow afternoon. You can hear those games in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support and in the Richland Center area on WRCE News from the Center. So with so many different things going on in Madison at the state capitol and also at, in the U.S. capitol with impeachment, there's a lot of ground to cover. And as I mentioned before, the impeachment one seems to be the weakest of all of them and is rooted in nothing other than the Republicans in the House of Representatives being led by a sliver of members who are far-right extremists. And yet nobody seems to be willing to stand up for them, because if they had these extremists start to vote against them, they'd have to work with Democrats so that together, as people who aren't on the extreme, they could get something done. But rather than do something
for the American people, they'd rather let their extreme right flank kind of lead them around. And you can see that in these reactions about the impeachment inquiry that Kevin McCarthy authorized yesterday. You have Tom Tiffany, again, saying this, I would say at this point, there's smoke. We want to find out if there's fire. Again, you can say that all day long. You can say there's smoke. You can say there are allegations. But nothing credible has ever come up, which is why he couches it by going on to say, that's why the inquiry is so important, but I don't want to prejudge the case. Then there's Derek Van Orden, who says he supports the inquiry, but, quote, will not sign up for a vote for impeachment until I see evidence. I feel obligated to vote for the opening of this inquiry, Van Orden said. Well, guess what? You don't get to vote. Kevin McCarthy said he was going to let the full House vote on whether to open up the inquiry. And then he flip-flopped and just opened it up on his own because he knew he might not have the votes to actually get an impeachment inquiry opened. Van Orden said, I feel obligated to vote for it. He's not even going to get a chance to do that. Kevin McCarthy took that vote right out of his hands. Mike Gallagher would not say whether he supported the inquiry and suggested he was waiting for a Republican caucus meeting set for today to learn more. He said, quote, at best, what Hunter Biden and probably Joe Biden were doing is extremely swampy. And if it wasn't illegal, it should be. How mealy-mouthed is that? That probably Joe Biden. And if it wasn't illegal, it should be. In other words, you don't know. You don't know anything more than what you're hearing on Fox News and Newsmax and all these other right-wing outlets that are saying all sorts of things. But they're not saying those same sorts of things about Jared Kushner and the $2 billion he was getting from Saudi Arabia for what reason? We don't really know. All we know is that they're spending an awful lot of time looking into the adult child of a president who's not working in the administration compared to, you know, Ivanka and Jared Kushner back in the day, so that they can both sides this whole thing. Well, you know, if they hear somebody go, well, Trump, you know, Trump got impeached two times. Well, Biden got impeached. Well, Trump's facing criminal charges. Well, Biden ought to face criminal charges. Because again, they can't stand up to the most extreme elements of their party, including the ones involved in criming and saying you committed crimes, therefore you should be impeached and removed from office, or you've committed crimes, George Santos, and so you should no longer be in the caucus. Now, you heard Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman in our last hour mocking the idea of impeachment because he knows how this is going to play with moderate voters. Again, lacking any firm evidence, your moderate voters are going to say, are you kidding me? We're facing a government shutdown here because instead of trying to reach agreement on a federal budget, you're off doing this sideshow. And that's what they're doing. And so in our newsletter today and in an article soon to go up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, I spell out the very real impact that a shutdown could have on Wisconsin, on Wisconsinites, and you know where that would leave us as we have an economy that is still working to recover, you know, from the pandemic, that is, you know, still trying to tame some inflation. We look back at some of the past shutdowns and the impact that it had on thousands of workers in Wisconsin who had to go without paychecks for a while, paychecks that therefore weren't put back to use in the local economy. There are employers who aren't going to be able to hire people for a while because they can't verify their immigration status because that office will have closed down. Farmers won't be able to get some updated government pricing and other information. National parks and trails could shut down. Remember one of the past shutdowns, all the garbage that piled up in national parks and all the maintenance delays that went on. And this is all happening simply because one small group, Republicans in the U.S. House, are demanding massive cuts in nutrition programs, environmental protection, civil rights enforcement, They want some more culture war things put in where you're targeting people related to abortion or LGBTQ rights or racial justice. None of these things are going to get past a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president. So why are you going there? You've made your point. We know what you stand for. But if you're really willing to shut down the government and inconvenience Americans and weaken the American economy, who are you really standing for on this? Coming back home now for a moment, Governor Evers has taken on a new tactic on trying to get Republicans to take seriously his call for a special session of the legislature next week to work on child care and to work on a middle-class tax cut. He's doing what he calls a legislative survey. Basically, he has sent a letter to every legislator saying, look, you know I've called for a special session. You know where my ideas are. I'm still waiting for you guys to try to maybe help meet me in the middle. And so he has sent a very long list of questions to the legislators, starting with, do you agree that the Wisconsin State Legislature has a role and responsibility in helping find real solutions to the pressing issues facing our state? Yes or no? Do you agree that one of the greatest issues facing Wisconsin is our state's ability to find, recruit, and retain workers to join our workforce? Yes or no? Do you agree that ensuring families have access to affordable child care is critical to maintaining a robust statewide workforce? Yes or no? And on it goes. I did not count up the total number of questions here, but there are at least a couple dozen. And what he's saying in so many words is, what's your plan? Now, we've seen the bills that are going to be passing out this week, but again, they are warmed over versions of things that either Governor Evers has already vetoed or that have no widespread support in public at all. So what are they going to counter with besides more of the same? Dick in Madison has called us up on the studio line, 844-967-2789. Dick, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, the circus with McCarthy and the Republicans. You got to be old like me to remember this, but you remember when Geraldo did that thing when the Capone?
Yes, the Al Capone vault. Yes.
Why don't they hire him? This has got about as compelling as that show was that night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got absolutely nothing. I think he's unemployed from Fox right now. So, you know, have him become part of the circus show.
I love it. I think that it at the moment, you're right. It would have the exact same thing. And I'm going to admit, I watched it back then, the Geraldo thing. And you remember the feeling, right? When they opened it up and there was just like that one empty beer bottle or something?
Yeah, it was just absolutely. And people tuned in from, it had mass viewership, and that's all we're after. But it's going to be a big nothing show, just like that was.
Yes, exactly. Dick, thanks so much. I appreciate, I love the idea. Thanks for calling in. Have a great day. And look, let's say again, if Hunter Biden committed any crimes, committed any wrongdoing, there's nobody saying, oh, he should be protected. You know, they're saying, yeah, okay, prosecute him in a court of law, either reach a plea deal, which they did, but then the judge said it wasn't good enough. There's a special prosecutor looking into things now who can bring charges at any point again against Hunter Biden. But to keep insinuating that it must stretch to the president because he stopped in at some dinners or, you know, did anything that, you know, a father would do with a son is such a stretch. It is, you know, their motives are as clear as that one empty bottle that they found in Al Capone's vault. We'll be looking to talk to Tara Johnson, candidate for Congress, and then later Todd Alba joining us here on Up North News Radio for this Wednesday morning. We'll be back in a bit. You're up north.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News Brief. Russian President Vladimir Putin and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un spoke for more than 4 hours at a Russian satellite launch center in Siberia today. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab from Dnipro.
Whatever is eventually agreed between Kim and Russia, military analysts says it's not likely to change the overall trajectory of the war here in Ukraine, but it will isolate these two already extremely volatile countries even further.
Officials in eastern Libya say the death toll in massive flooding in the city of Derna has now surpassed 5,100. The BBC's Anna Foster.
Pictures from eastern Libya show torrents of water rushing through streets, submerging cars and leaving a trail of devastation.
Hurricane Lee is another day closer to potential landfall in New England. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
At this point, Boston and the Cape now out of the cone, but not necessarily out of the woods just yet. A farther west track would mean some heavy rain.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We're going to be talking to Tara Johnson in just a moment here about the race for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. If you're not familiar with the Congressional District boundaries, the 3rd District basically stretches down the Mississippi River, part of the St. Croix River, along western Wisconsin, down to southwest Wisconsin. It includes Dunn and Eau Claire counties, a little bit of Chippewa County, and it stretches all south from there. Then there's this little extension that goes up and grabs Portage County and the Stevens Point area for gerrymandering reasons that I won't bore you about right now. Tara Johnson is one of the candidates to get into the race. We have spoken at length to Rebecca Cook previously, and we will probably talk to her again early next week simply because
I know that she'll be at the Chippewa Falls Oktoberfest coming up this Friday, so I will probably try to get a quick interview with her. We've had a quick interview with Tara Johnson already, and we will do the same with other candidates as they get in. There is one gentleman who has never lived in the district. He's from Milwaukee. He's attending Harvard Law. He has announced that he's going to be moving back to the district after he graduates next spring to run for Congress. So if that's the case, maybe we'll get to chat with him then. But for now, having set up the district and the candidates that we have right now, let's welcome in Tara Johnson, a longtime chair of the La Crosse County Board, 20-year veteran, 11 years as chair, and had stepped down from that a couple of years back and is now stepping up to run for Congress. Tara, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming in. Nice to talk to you here. We've got some current affairs issues to talk about, of course, related to potential shutdown and a potential impeachment of President Biden. But since we're really getting a good, in-depth interview with you for the first time, as I often do, I just want to turn things over for the first, 60 seconds or so that the listeners can hear in your own words that elevator pitch that we've all had to give as candidates. Tara, why are you running for Congress?
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate the opportunity. I'm running for Congress because I care about people. That's why I'm a Democrat. That's why I have spent my entire career in service to my community. It started out in the United Way system right after I graduated from college. I was a United Way professional for about 15 years in Milwaukee, then over in Green Bay, and then came here to La Crosse in the early 90s. To be the executive director of this United Way. After about 7 years in that job, really making some transformational change in how United Way did its work in the community. Happy to talk more about that later, but spent about 7 years here as the executive director of United Way, decided to stay home after our daughter was born, had the privilege of being able to do that, but really wanted to stay connected in the community. So I immediately ran for county board. I was actually inspired by Dick Mile, who was the opinion page editor of the La Crosse Tribune at the time. And he wrote an editorial saying, local government is where it's at. It's so important. And we need contested races because there are too many uncontested local races. So I got into that race and in 2000 beat about a 12-year incumbent by a very small margin. I had really no idea what I was doing when I ran, but got elected and spent 20 years, as you said, on the La Crosse County Board, actually the last nine as chair.
That's right. It was in 2011 that you became chair. That's right.
Yeah. So lots of great work on the county board.
So in running for Congress this time, talk about your priorities. There are so many issues that we can always talk about, but what are the ones that are most important to you and you think your constituents?
Yeah, so for me, top of the list is really healthcare, but specifically regaining reproductive freedom for Wisconsinites and really for Americans. I think about, when I was in college, I had access to the full array of reproductive healthcare services. I was able to access an abortion and have supportive services throughout that. And now in 2023, in this same state, our 24-year-old daughter, Lena, is not able to make that same choice for herself. And I think that is wrong and it needs to change. And for me, it's not just reproductive care, but it's really health care. My husband is a kidney transplant recipient, a stem cell transplant recipient, and he has had access to excellent quality health care. And it is because he is a 50-year member of the IBEW. So he has union health care, and that is coverage that has kept him healthy and saved his life. And I think that that is healthcare that every person should have in this district, in this state, in this country. So those are a couple of really important issues for me.
So we are now, we're still less than a year into the term that Derek Van Orden was elected for, succeeding longtime Democratic incumbent Ron Kind. you see what they're talking about in Washington these days. You've seen what all's been done in the, you know, 8.25 months that, you know, the Republicans have controlled the House. What's your report card on the service that Derek Van Orden is providing to the 3rd Congressional District?
Good thing I was never an educator, because I think I would have been a tough grader. But, my report card is he is out of touch with the values of this district. My report card is that he has a very personal extremist MAGA agenda that he is motivated by. And I do not believe that that is reflective of what most folks here in the 3rd Congressional District believe. And I think it's, I don't think there's a lot of work being done in terms of anything other than staying on the path that leadership, such as it is in Congress, is directing our current representative on doing. And it's disappointing. And we haven't even touched behavioral issues, right? Like, government is of the people, and it should, I believe that elected officials should reflect the importance of and really the democracy of that office. And we all know that our current representative has done a horrible job in his behavior and his conduct, and he should be ashamed of himself. He absolutely should be embarrassed by his behavior. And so not just the votes that he's taken that are horrible, but his behavior is not representative of our values.
You're saying that a member of Congress from Western Wisconsin should not be screaming at pages who have been working in the Capitol all day and into the night, especially while you've been, shall we say,
imbibing,
you know, with friends or professional associates in your office. It's never struck me as the kind of thing that you would want to hear from your member of Congress.
Right. And that's just one of them, right? That's the latest incident. That's not talking about attempting to take a loaded weapon onto an airplane. He knows better than that. Why? And the treatment that he gave to the young library employee down in Prairie du Chien regarding the display of Pride books. There are a number of episodes that we could be talking about, and it really reflects a disdain for the decorum and for the importance and just it, like civility, basic civility. It is very embarrassing that he is representing us.
We read earlier his comment on the impeachment inquiry that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced yesterday, and he gave the standard, you know, there's a lot of smoke, there might be fire. What's your view? First, we'll do impeachment and then the potential for a government shutdown. But what's your view on Derek Van Orden's support for an impeachment inquiry of President Biden?
Yeah, this is kind of what I mentioned before. It's that following lockstep in what leadership is telling them to do and not really discerning for himself that this is, as you know, I think most of us appreciate, this is absolutely a political maneuver. And I think our representative currently is, I just don't see him as an independent thinker. I don't see him as a problem solver. I see him as someone who is following leadership and going down, casting votes and giving quotes like that, because this is the script from GOP leadership. Did you ask about shutdown also? Sorry,
it started with impeachment, but in shutdown, we can't even say that he's following a script necessarily, because the script isn't being written by Kevin McCarthy.
Well, fair.
I mean, he's
trying to write the script, and there are a lot, you know, it's like in, production week or tech week of the production, and they're, you know, changing the cues and changing the script and trying to figure out where he has votes, right?
What I wonder about with Derek Van Orden is he in the extreme fringe with your Marjorie Taylor Greens, Matt Gaetz, and all those others, and pretending not to be, or is he not in that group, but isn't willing to stand up to them. What are your thoughts on where does he really position himself as a Republican?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I'm not sure which category I would put him in. And I think that being unable to answer that question is an indication of him and what we don't know about him, right? Like, why is he there? It's not like he has his own set of values that he thinks he shares with others in the district and is saying, this is what I'm going to work towards. I feel like he is there and he maybe, what's his finger, sticks it up in the air and decides, okay, which way is the best way to go on this? And sometimes it's very extreme and sometimes it's, I don't really know. And that may, you know, for someone who was a Navy SEAL, who you think, you know, lots of strong, sure things, I do not see him being that way in Congress at all. I see him being unsure of himself and trying to figure out which way the wind is blowing.
A shutdown would delay a farm bill, and a farm bill would be a very important measure throughout the Wisconsin economy, quite frankly. Now, he has done what he has said has been some listening sessions and input mm-hmm. on the farm bill. But to what degree do you think he might stand up against a shutdown, in part saying, hey, we need this farm bill done? Or is he simply going to play along with Republican political games?
He certainly does not have a track record of standing up, right? Like that has not been his pattern. And I think the outreach to the district is great. It's laudable. That's kind of the job of a member of Congress, is to be holding listening sessions on important legislation like the farm bill. That's what he should be doing. So good for doing that part of the job. And I don't think he has any track record at all of standing up for something, standing up for our district. And I think when push comes to shove, the shutdown is one more example of, at the federal level, game playing, gamesmanship. We are seeing it in full display in our state right now, also by Republicans. And I just don't expect that Van Orden is going to be bold and brave and surprise us with any kind of advocacy for the farmers, for the agricultural business in our district.
All right, last question I've got time for is to ask the Biden administration is going to talk about Bidenomics and the investments that have been made in the economy. There are plenty of people who will contend that has been a lot of spending that has perhaps contributed to inflation, and they're going to want to know, are you going to be some kind of a big tax spender? I've only given you less than 30 seconds to answer it, but it's something that's going to come up. What's your short response to whether you're going to be a big spender?
Yeah, my short response is, look at my track record. La Crosse County has consistently been in the very bottom, like fifth or sixth from the bottom out of 72 counties in this state in terms of per capita taxes. And we still provide high quality services. That was my 20-year track record in La Crosse County. That's who I am, have been as a local elected official. And I'm going to take those same smarts to Congress.
Tara, can't wait to talk to you more and the other candidates throughout the campaign. It was so great that you checked in with us this morning, and have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. When we come back, Todd Alba from The Todd Alba Show with a little bit more as we wrap up our conversation on this Wednesday. This is Up North News Radio.
Dig out the Lederhausen. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 16th. This all-day fest features German food and beer, an axe-throwing contest, 50-50 raffle, and it wouldn't be the same without live polka music throughout the fest. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 16th, 11 to 7 at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, and is brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More information at haywardoktoberfest.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some,
that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A little patchy fog right away this morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 65 today. Our wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, more fog. Our low down to 43 tomorrow. Sunny and warmer, 77. Then on Thursday night into Friday, a cold front will bring a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high on Friday near 74. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hey, if you don't get our daily newsletter, we did put together a special back-to-school edition, and you can find it at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you read that and maybe become a subscriber. CJ from Stoughton called in, and I will admit that I completely hogged up the interview time because we haven't had a long interview segment with Tara Johnson. I'm sure we will have more of them. So, CJ, I'm sorry I didn't get you in before the break, but I'd certainly like to know what it is you want to bring up as issues in the 3rd Congressional District race. CJ, good morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I guess I believe that the representative is doing a good job by asking questions. I'm actually calling about the impeachment inquiry.
Sure.
We listened to Adam Schiff for 2.5 years say he had evidence, and the Durham report proved that wrong. 2.5 years, $30 million. And this White House has not been forthcoming. We now know the President Biden has used aliases to have communication with Ukraine officials. So I think he is doing his job. Trying to get information from this White House isn't very easy when you've seen that the way they've handled the Hunter Biden situation.
Well, CJ, I guess I would have to respectfully take issue with you there, CJ, because there's been months, nay, years of investigations on this guy, and we've learned as much about attempts at basically rigging the investigation as anything else. But I mean, this is the first I'm hearing of, you know, Biden and aliases to governments, and it just makes me wonder,
really?
You know, how much more of a fishing expedition can be done before something real is found? And again, apart from this alias thing, what's the real evidence here?
About the IRS whistleblowers that have came forward speaking of bribery to the Biden.
Well, again, much like the January 6th commission, I would love for these people to, and the House could have done this at any time. They could have brought somebody in, right?
Do you agree that White House has not been forthcoming with information?
No, I do not, but don't. I do know that they have said that they will continue to offer up information as they need it. CJ, I appreciate you bringing it up. We're gonna debate this a little bit more often over time, but now we're going to turn to Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show, so he's got a little bit of time to say what he's going to be covering today. I believe he joins us from the phone again because he forgot that Madison is a big, crowded city. Mr. Alba, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. I almost ran into a window. I'm walking around the parking garage right now.
You're live from the parking garage, mere steps away from the microphone you're supposed to be at. Is that what you're telling me?
That's exactly right. Because once again, the Madison traffic is just, you know, I love Madison, but right now is a good time to stay up north. Just don't come down here because it's a zoo. It's terrible.
Buddy, you didn't just fall off the turnip truck. You've been there a while. You know what Madison traffic is like. It's insane.
I lived at Madison basically for the last 20 years, 25 years. It's never been this bad. I will tell you that.
It's worse than ever, you're saying. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a pass on this. I'll write you a teacher's note in this time around that you're tardy for good reason. Now, whether you continue this answer in front of a microphone or on the phone, I'm going to give you the
up here.
Oh, look, he's moving up to the microphone now. I better let him in so that we can see him there. There we go. There's one. Todd Alba. You put your phone down now. It still says still no internet below your name here. Is this factually?
Yeah, that's true. Accurate? Let's not talk about that. I'm going to continue a war with Spectrum. That's true.
Oh, dear. All right. This was the most amazing revelation that Robin Voss and the Republicans had. They have seen the light and are embracing nonpartisan redistricting just coincidentally before a progressive-led state Supreme Court might redraw the maps. It sounds a little fishy to me. Todd, do you smell fish?
You could not smell fishier if you were at a shop at Pike's Peak or Pike's Market in Seattle. I mean, it is absolutely fishy. And it's sad, quite frankly, because Republicans, this is not a serious proposal. What they are is scared. They're absolutely scared of new maps having to run for them. And also with a Donald Trump presumptive nominee for the Republican Party at the top of the ticket, and then impeaching Janet Protasiewicz, that is not going to go well for Republicans down ballot. And by down ballot, I mean anybody on the ticket or on the ballot after Donald Trump. And this is a last-ditch attempt to try to skew the media and to get people to think, well, you know, now we're trying to do the bipartisan thing. No, they're trying to run out the clock to delay new maps so they can run on the current maps and retain power.
Here's what I'm wondering, and you already know I have an extremely high opinion of Jesse O'Point and Molly Beck.
Yes.
And I am just wondering if the article that they put up yesterday about talking to most, if not all, of the 64 Assembly Republicans, and not one of them would give a firm yes on whether they were a yes on impeaching Janet Protasiewicz. It's almost like they saw Jesse and Molly's story, and Robin Voss said, "Rut-row,
yeah,
we need a new plan."
Well, I mean, we've been talking about this on our show for well over a week. We've been giving out the toll-free number to call your state legislator, particularly Assembly Republicans, and say, look, a vote for impeachment is a vote against you in 2024. You had one principled conservative in Scott Johnson from Fort Atkinson in the Assembly who came out over the weekend and said he would not vote for impeachment, even though that's a fine opinion, not my opinion, but if people want to say Protasiewicz should recuse herself, you can believe that. But he said, look, that's how I feel, but I also uphold and believe in Wisconsin elections, and I do not feel and I would not vote for impeachment of Protasiewicz. That took a lot of courage, quite frankly, in today's Republican caucus. But you're right. Not a single other Republican has the spine to say what Representative Johnson did.
Oh, no, they'd much rather be some of them would much rather be trollish. Representative Dewey Strobel, Republican, got into it online on Twitter with Representative Deb Andraca, a Democrat. And over Strobel, you know, basically, again, putting up bad faith arguments and saying, oh, well, we just want the same thing Democrats wanted. And now Democrats are being hypocritical. And Deb Andraca pointed out the many ways in which he was really not sharing the full scope of information. So you've got that trying to nullify Protasiewicz and trying to fire Megan Wolf with an imaginary renomination. Right. It's not a good look, is it?
Not a good look. And Dewey Strobel, I'm old enough to remember when Dewey Strobel wanted to gut the Wisconsin retirement fund, and Dale Schultz stopped him on the Senate floor, just looked down at him and said, no. And Dewey went back to the Assembly. So people should be reminded of when Dewey Strobel wanted to gut the retirement fund in Wisconsin. That's the kind of guy he is.
There you go. All right. Todd's on from 1 to 3 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir, so
much.
Thank
you, Pat. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm just glad you're there safe and sound, my friend. All right. Thanks so much for being with us today. Let's see. Tomorrow is Thursday, so that would make it Hometown Health Day. And we're going to hear from Dr. Kristen Lyerly about National Recovery Month and helping people in their recovery from various mental health episodes. So we hope you will join us for that. You can follow me on social media, Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow on Twitter and elsewhere. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you Thursday morning, 6 a.m.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.